Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
We're what's known in common parlance as peculiar. 51 seconds late, Fiona.
Sorry, Miss Peregrine. How many carrots do you need for supper?
Just one will do. Peculiars have been persecuted through the ages. Hence, we live in places like this. I'm a type of peculiar called an imbrine.
Yeah, you turn into a bird.
Well, I do, yes. But that's not very useful. An imbrine's main skill is the manipulation of time. We choose a safe place, a safe day, and create a loop.
What do you mean?
Well, a loop preserves the last 24 hours. Reset the loop, and the day is yours to live in again. Reset it daily, and you can stay there forever. Entirely safe from the outside world. Every imbrine commits herself to the creation and upkeep of a place like this. A home for peculiar children.
Fred P. Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti. Today I'm in Rome in company of Mr. Tim Burton, who's here to present to the Italian audience Miss Peregrine, coming out in the theaters on December 15th. What was the spark that made you decide, that led you to adapt this book for the big screen?
Well, first of all, the title. I was, you know, Peculiar Children. That was my childhood. So that the title spoke to me. But also I liked the way that the author, Ranson Rigg, had concocted this story around old photographs. Because I collect photographs. And I find when I look at an old photograph, you just get the... You get told a story, but it doesn't tell you everything. And there's sometimes something quite haunting and poetic and powerful and mysterious about old photographs. So I thought it was very clever the way he concocted this story around these old photographs.
In the film, you show us how diversity is something one must defend with pride, even from the ones who don't understand and are afraid of differences. You just said that you were a special kid too. So how did you find your way into the world?
Oh, yes. I mean, you're lucky in your life. I mean, I grew up in a culture where it's just very sort of like to categorize people. But I was very lucky in certain cases, like I had a grandmother who was supportive of me in my peculiarities. And I had one art teacher, who just encouraged you to be yourself and to be, you know, do what, you know, the best you could do. And that was a rare thing, you know, rarity to have. And all you need is a couple of people that support you, that see your peculiarities and accept them, and then want you to flourish. And you know, hopefully everyone has at least one person like that in their life.
How did you work on combining your world with the one Ranson Riggs created and describes in the book?
Well, like I said, when I hadn't heard of the book, but when I looked at it, just the term Peculiar Children, because I'd done a little book called The Death of Oyster Boy, which is just little stories about peculiar children, which are different from this, but in a certain similar world. So I was immediately sort of connected to it because I've done my own Peculiar Children. So I just felt very, very, like I said, close to it. And the character of Jake, that feeling of being awkward as a teenager, not fitting, that internal, you know, sort of quietness and awkwardness you have. I thought it was just something that is easy for me to relate to.
What do you prefer between stop-motion animation and CGI, and how do you choose one over the other?
Well, I love stop-motion. That's my heart, because it's, you know, you've seen, they're tactical. It's something you can touch and feel, and they're just so beautiful. And the people that make the puppets, they're just like works of art. So I do like that. It's the most tactile. It's the most special. But also computers are amazing as well. I mean, I think, you know, we did in this one, you know, that little, the doll fight, that was all stop-motion, you know, and the skeleton fight wasn't. A lot of it has to do with time. You know, stop motion is just such a time-consuming process, and sometimes you don't have the time. And that's often why you choose one over the other.
After reading the book, did you immediately thought about Eva Green for the role of Miss Peregrine?
Yeah, I mean, again, I used the book in the photos as inspiration, but it just felt, I don't know, I mean, look at it, if I'd want her as a headmistress, wouldn't you, rather than some, I don't know. I just felt like Eva, for me, as I've worked with her before, she embodied everything that I thought Miss P should be, which is strong, funny, emotional, strange, and looked like she could turn into a bird, which she does. So, you know, I think Eva, for me, was always my first choice, just because she's like a silent movie actor. She's able to embody all of those things in one go, which I find, you know, very special. I remember having a teacher once who was in early school, and she was very beautiful and very funny and strong. And it was the only teacher that all the kids ever listened to, because she had this real power. And it was weird, because, you know, all the other teachers, like, everybody hated them and this, that. But this one was like Eva, and it's like kids did everything that she said, everything. It was amazing.
There's a scene in the film when Miss Peregrine says, "We don't talk about the future, we like to live in the present." Is it like that for you as well in life and in your movies?
Yeah, I mean, I do have trouble living. You know, people, it's a question because of the film, like, when would you like to live? And it's like, well, you know, we should all just be as in the present as we can. And I think that's hard because we're always looking at screens and doing this and thinking about the future and the past or whatever. And being in the present, I think, is the most difficult and interesting. So, but also I think with effects, I mean, like the films I make, I think they're just pretty basic. They don't, you know, you use effects for whatever your story is. And I think that's always been that way. People, you know, you just use it as a tool to help tell the story. So I just try to keep it as grounded as I can.
Can we somehow consider these kids as superheroes?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, Batman, it felt like new sort of territory. Now, you know, there's a new superhero film coming out every week. So what I liked about this is that even though these kids have their powers or peculiarities, the thing I really liked about it is that they're just basically just kids. And that, to me, was something that was an important thematic thing. Like, cause, you know, when you, as younger, you're like thought of as being weird or peculiar or whatever. At the root of it, there's just basically just, you know, emotional good kids. And I like the fact that they have these powers and peculiarities, but they do what every other, like, act like children, like normal people.
Did we all imagine it, or is it true that you made an appearance in the film?
We stopped shooting, and I needed a couple more shots, but we didn't have any more money. So me and a few friends went and snuck on the pier without anybody knowing, and they kicked us off the pier a few times, but yeah, I could.
Quello che è successo in realtà.
Believe me, if I had other people to do it, I would, because I hate seeing myself on screen. But it's.
And what do you think of the younger generations nowadays? Is it true that it's more difficult to highlight and value your gifts and peculiarities for kids right now?
Yeah, no, it is strange. I do agree, and I feel in some ways it's harder because, you know. The thing I don't like is, like, people can say anything. You know, you can say somebody looks weird or somebody, you know, and nobody, this is nameless, faceless sort of like bullying or whatever, you know, and I find it really disturbing. And also, you go to a concert and you're enjoying the music and you look around and everybody is, you know, all of us. I do it myself. And it's like, well, I'm not really there enjoying it. I'm looking at it through another device. And also, like with my kids, it's like, you know, oh, they judge their worth by how many hits they get on the internet or how many likes or just, and I just find that's, for me, it's both sad and alarming.
Thank you, Mr. Tim Burton, for being here with us and talking about Miss Peregrine, coming out in the Italian cinema theaters on December 15th. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.